Welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
Amen. Come on, amen. You may have your seats. You may have your seats. All right, everybody say money talks. All right. So, last week, who was here last week? Who was here last week? Amen. We had an awesome time. I had an awesome time. I don't know about you. I had an awesome time sharing this word because, like I said, the word is a double-edged sword. It starts with me and it goes to you. So I'm the first partaker of any message I preach, and I'm excited about what God is doing. Thank God for the testimonies that came forth. I know there was more that came, but for the sake of time, we're going to bypass and just jump into the word. But like I said, we learned last week a very important. Was it last week we talked about the five different economic groups? Yes? We talked about who remembers what they are, the five different economic groups. Very, very poor. Somebody said dirt poor. Very poor. Poor, middle class, rich, and very rich. All right? And how many people know that there are poor people problems and there are rich people problems? So just because you have more money doesn't mean there's no more problems, right? However, we also understand that money also gives us the ability to solve a lot of problems. All right? So there are poor people problems and there are rich people problems. There are poor people's perspectives, and there are rich people's perspectives. There are poor people's paradigms, and there are rich people's paradigms. And it's important that we understand that in each level, poor, middle, and rich, there is a lens that's attached to those levels, meaning that you see the world, each of those groups see the world differently, right? Those who are grouped in the poor and the very poor class usually sees the world from a lens of scarcity. And I'm teaching already. From a lens of scarcity. Meaning that from the standpoint of very poor and poor, or a poverty mindset, you see the world from this place that there may not be enough for me in this world. Because I don't have enough. Depending on, again, your situations or where some of you have come from or where you've grown up, you may not have grown up around wealth or around riches. You really grew up in a time or in a place where you literally worried about where you were going to eat or what you were going to eat this week or what you were going to eat next week. You had to come from a place where you struggled financially. There were times when you didn't know how the rent was going to be paid, right? There were times when you didn't know how things were going to happen for you or if your kids were going to be able to eat. But somehow, some way, if you were a believer, you're still here. That means you didn't starve to death. God made a way for you somehow. Amen? And so you may have come through some hard times and some rough places. And I believe that God has, again, sent me to use this series to tell you that your broke days are over. And that what you saw and what your parents saw or what you might be in right now, I'm here to tell you that that is changing for you today. The Bible says that people are destroyed for a lack of money. People are destroyed because of a lack of money. Why are people destroyed? A lack of knowledge. So if what I know can equip me or empower me to enter into new levels of success, new levels of increase, then it's extremely important for the devil to make sure you remain ignorant about what you can do and what you can have. We think that the devil is our biggest problem, and he's not. The devil is not our biggest problem. Ignorance is our biggest problem. So the enemy, if I was the devil, I would make sure, I would do my best to be involved with the education system and make sure as many people that comes through the school system don't know anything about money. Because if I keep people uneducated about money, I can do what I want with the money. Like, I was thinking about this the other day. I didn't go to school, I didn't do like economic classes when I was in school. I remember the two things I literally remember about money when I went to school was when I was about in third grade, when they gave us those paper coins, the quarter and the nickel and the penny, and they were teaching you what that was. Right? And the dollar bill, they taught you what a dollar was, and a $10 bill was, a $20 bill. That was one of the only times I ever remember being taught about money in school. And I was in math class. Then in high school, I remember doing fractions and stuff. And you deal with percentages. And it helped you to understand money from that concept. But it's amazing that we all go to school because they teach you that we're going through school so that we can get a job to make money, but then they never teach you what to do with the money you're supposed to be earning when you get a job. So it's not a coincidence that the majority of Americans are in debt. Majority of Americans struggle financially because we've never been taught what to do with money. Come on. And to make matters worse, by the time they graduate high school, they got credit cards coming in the mail. Credit cards. Meaning, this is not money, but this is debt. If you can use this money on this card to pay off some things, and they don't have a job, guess what they're going to do with that? They have no money to pay back what they are spending their credit cards on. Another way to keep people in bondage before they even get a chance to do anything with their lives. Isn't it sad? I saw one of my students when I was a teacher show me the credit card he got in the mail, and his credit limit was bigger than the credit limit I was being offered. I was like, I got a job, and they're offering you more money than me? So they want to put our kids in debt even before they finish college. So it's important that we get the knowledge, because if people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, let's get the knowledge and stop the destruction. Come on. So I talked about the three economic classes. There's those who are in poor and very poor situations. They see the world from a place of scarcity. It's not there. I don't know how things are going to be met. The feeling of there is not enough translates into also the identity or the belief that I am not enough. Because if there's not enough for me, that means I'm not enough for the world, and I can't be or do or have what other people in the world can be, do, and have. And like I said, poverty is more than just the amount of money you have in your bank. It's an identity. So where we're going to go for the next few weeks is I'm going to talk about the mindsets and the attitudes that accompany each level in a socioeconomic categories that you might be currently in. Because old beliefs will never create new success. Old beliefs will never create new successes. What you believe now about money is not going to be what prepares you to enter into a next level of financial increase and success. You are going to have to change something you believe right now about money, about work, about success, about yourself, in order to see new levels of success and increase in your life. That's why I started here and talked about the lukewarmness. Because lukewarm people say, I don't need to change. Lukewarm people say, I don't want to change. I don't want to grow. I'm okay where I am. And when people get into that state, they enter into what is popularly known as the comfort zone. Everybody say comfort zone. Now I hope you guys can see this. It's a nice circumference. And I want to create this little image for you to get a hold of. Now, God told me to, God gave me this little picture. So let's just say that this circle is known as our comfort zone or the comfort circle. Okay? And every time there's a move of God, every time God begins to challenge the people to step into something new, the word of the Lord that comes forth usually always talks about the comfort zone. God needs you to leave your comfort zone, right? Why? Because it's so important, because this is like that nest I was talking about last week that the eagle is in and doesn't want to learn how to fly, doesn't want to learn how to grow and flap its wings because it's comfortable in here. And one of the things that I realized about the comfort zone is this. God said, I wish that you'd be hot or cold. God said, I wish that you'd be hot or cold. You want to know something about the scriptures and about how the Bible talks about money? Show me in the Bible where you can find the middle class. The Bible always talks about the rich or the poor. It talks about prosperity and poverty. You never find the middle class in the Bible. Either you're rich or you're poor. So what does that mean? We've created some this place called the middle class where people become comfortable and people learn how to settle at this level where we're like in between. We're not rich, we're not poor, but you know what? It's enough. I'm doing better than the poor, and I don't think I can get to that level, so I'm comfortable here. And we've been taught and we've been trained to or programmed to accept living at a standard. But again, what's the difference between the rich, the poor, and the middle? Somebody said the rich talk about ideas. Somebody said my zeros. Somebody said the rich talk about ideas. The middle class talks about things. And the poor talk about people. The poor people talk about people. This is why I said last week, change the way you talk, right? Don't talk about rich people. Don't talk about the rich, because if you're rich, you're talking about yourself. Okay? So if you don't understand the rich, don't talk about it. Try to get, again, with learning how to think differently. Well, I'll get back to that. But the rich talk about ideas. The poor talk about people, and the middle class talk about things. And the things that the middle class talk about, and the poor, what they talk about are the things that the rich have and create. The rich create the things that the middle class want. The bags we want are what the rich are creating for you to buy. The houses that you want to live in, the rich are owning them and renting them to you. All right? So we have to, again, experience this fundamental shift in our perspective about how we relate to money and why we spend money the way we spend. What are we going to do if we're going to change our, break out of our comfort zones and reach to new levels? And our God does not want us to be lukewarm, and there's no middle class in the Bible, then that means that we have to make a decision to be cold or hot, rich or poor. And this is why we're seeing in society that there is this push where we're hearing more and more people saying in a few more years or another decade there will be no middle class, because they're trying to erase the middle class and it's only going to be poor or rich. So which one are you going to want to be? It starts now, and I believe God is getting us ready to prepare ourselves to learn how to enter into the level of wealth that we are supposed to have. Now, why people remain comfortable and don't pursue wealth? That's a long story, of course, but I found that it comes down to one word, and that's fear. And I realize that there are three main fears that keep people in the middle class. And I'll write this down for you so you can get this. Number one, the fear of failure. Number two, the fear of rejection. And number three, the fear of loss. And these three fears work together to keep you right in your comfort zone. And it's not just for the middle either. This is for the poor as well. What the poor think about, like I said, is survival. Because they don't have. And their fear is that I may not have tomorrow. What the middle class think about is comfort. I have enough for me, and I'm going to protect this. And what the wealthy think about is freedom. And I realize you cannot pursue freedom and comfort at the same time. If you want freedom, you got to break out of your comfort zone because you have to get uncomfortable. Wealth and free is freedom, and freedom is wealth. You're not free if you can't do what you want to do. If you can't decide on whether or not you're going to get up tomorrow to work because you're afraid you're going to lose your job, you're not free. So, if you want wealth and you want freedom, you got to break out of this thing called the comfort zone. Now, like I said, we've been trained at early ages to fall into these comfort zones. For example, failure is something that we have been trained to believe is bad. How many of you remember this at school? What's this mean? You failed. And if you brought this home, what did that mean? Punishment, pain, loss. All right? Was it promotion in doubt or promotion in jeopardy? All right? This meant nothing good in school. Rejection, withdrawal of love, depending on how harsh your parents were or strict, it meant that you weren't getting none for Christmas. Come on. So, what happens to you psychologically, mentally, emotionally? What happens during that time? You are now programmed to believe, I must avoid failure at all costs. While failures simply mean that you've tried something new or you went outside of the norms, what I found out is that the wealthy don't look at failure the same way that poor or middle class people do. As a matter of fact, the wealthy believe that failure is good. Because if I'm going to do new things and accomplish more, I'm going to make myself uncomfortable because I'm stepping into a realm I'm not comfortable in. I don't know. And if you try anything new, you're going to make mistakes. So it's not a matter of if you will fail, it's when. So if you don't have a positive view of failure, and our churches don't help because we also preach that. We teach people not to sin, not to fall, not to do anything, and then if you do, you're condemned, you're shamed. Right? And so we've learned to stay away from failure as much as possible. So it's a safety measure for us to protect ourselves. Anything new, anything challenging, anything that I might fail at, let me stay away from it. So now an opportunity comes for you to become a homeowner. You'd be like, well, I never owned a home. My family never owned a home. I don't want to go through this process. This is scary. Therefore, you can talk yourself out of an opportunity if you were presented one. Somebody says, hey, let's try this investment together. Let's invest in Bitcoins. Or let's invest in stock market or whatever. And you'd be like, well, I've never done that before. I don't want to fail. I don't want to lose. Because we've been trained, if we fail, we're rejected. But the rich understand, if I fail, I learned. And so what I found out is that many of us, we try new things and then we fail. Then we say, you know what, I'm never trying that again. But the rich say, you know what, I learned something new, I'm going to try it again. Why? I was a Thomas Edison. Ryan probably knows this quote. He says, success is going from failure to failure. Somebody said this. You can look it up. Success is going from failure to failure without losing enthusiasm. Success is going from one failure to another failure without losing enthusiasm, motivation, encouragement. Why? Because the people who've created amazing products, they didn't just create it the first time. The iPhone wasn't created on one shot. Come on. The computer wasn't created the first time. They failed thousands and thousands of times before they got the one thing that said, this is it. It works. The light bulb, right? Failed over and over again. But that person chose not to give up. And now that person's family never has to work. Because they had one idea that they chose not to give up on. Come on. So if you're going to learn how to break through your comfort zone, number one, you got to learn how to overcome the fear of failure. You got to be willing to take risks. And you got to be willing to try new things. And even if you fail the first time, it's okay. You learn and you try again. You go again. And God is pleased when he sees you doing that. You think Abraham did everything right? You think David did everything right? You think, you know what I'm saying? The people in the scriptures didn't do everything right. But what God honored, the fact that they didn't try, or the fact that they didn't fail? No. God honored the fact that they had the faith to keep on trying and keep on believing his word. Come on. So we got to overcome the fear of failure. Another fear that keeps people in the comfort zone is the fear of rejection. We care too much about people's opinions of us. It's the reason why many of us get in debt, because we want to impress the people around us by buying stuff, buying labels and buying name brands and buying clothes. We go to the supermarket and like put that, I don't want to buy the No Frills brand of cornflakes or Frosted Flakes. So you want to buy the $6 box instead of buying the $1.99 bag. What's the same thing? How many of you have bought the $1.99 bag? It's not the name. And on mine, it tastes better because of the name. All right. Anyway, the thing about the many of us in the middle class is that when you do try to do new things, guess what happens? Because in your class and in your group, it's not just you. You have family, you have friends, you have neighbors, you have other people who are in the same class as you, who, if you do try to do new things, they'll look at you and say, well, who do you think you are? They'll call you names. They'll talk about up other groups to you, say rich people are greedy. You turning bougie on us. You brand new. All right? We'll do all this stuff because you're reading a book that's gonna empower you financially, and they'll try to talk you out of that. You call that the crabs in a barrel mindset or syndrome. Whenever the crab is trying to crawl out the barrel, another crab will pull it down. And it will not allow another crab to ease its way on out. Because you're not going to leave me down here. Come on. But if you're going to learn how to break out your comfort zone, you have to learn how to reject the fear of rejection. You have to realize that people ain't going to like you if you're poor or if you're rich. So you might as well be rich. Everybody's not going to like you. Everyone is not going to celebrate you. Everyone is not going to be happy that you are blessed. Do you know that? One of the definitions for the word blessed means to be envied. Look it up. One of the definitions of the word blessed means to be envied. That's why Jesus said, it's impossible for you to go through life without offense. People will be offended at you. People are offended at the way you look. They'll be offended at the clothes you wear, your hair color, your hairstyle. Who cares? You gotta have a who cares in your spirit if you wanna be successful today, church. All right, Ryan got it. You gotta have a I don't care in your spirit. You gotta add that to your vocabulary. All right? People will not be happy because you're becoming successful, because God is blessing you, because God is opening doors. That's why I love testimonies. One of the things is when we share testimonies, that's not a time for you to sit back and get jealous or envious. That's the time you celebrate with your brother and sister of what God is doing in their lives. Right? Remember, poor people talk about people. Rich people celebrate the accomplishments that people make, and then try to figure out what you did so I can do it too. That's how you think from a wealthy mindset. So you got to get over the fear of rejection and the fear of loss, okay? That's basically what we talk about. And those two go hand in hand. The fear that if I take a new risk and if I put out myself or put my money out or do something, I may lose everything. But you know what? You got to recognize that there are poor people problems and there's rich people problems. And you got to come to a point where you say, I know I might lose, but I might also win. And again, you can't be afraid of losing. All of this, what I taught you right here, you were paying $1,000 in a financial workshop. But you're getting this for free. Come on. Now, all of this that you learned, the Bible talks about. How can I do this? You learn this as a child. You learn all of this as a child. You learn all of this when you were a child. And you know what the Bible says? Train up a child in the way that he should go, that when he gets older, he will not depart from it. Now, we've heard that verse. Many of us have heard that verse for years in regards to making sure our kids come to church, making sure they read their Bible and pray, because if we teach them the spiritual disciplines at a young age, then they won't leave. They'll come back to church. Even if they leave church, they'll come back. Right? But I want to show you something. I want you to read the verse after it. Let's turn to it. Proverbs. Let me show you what Solomon was saying we need to train up our children knowing with the understanding of. Proverbs 22, verse 6. I got 6 minutes. Proverbs 22, verse 6. You ready? God blew my mind with this. Proverbs 22:6-7 reads this: train up a child, start children off on the way that they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it, it will not depart from it. Verse 7, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. So what Solomon was taught, hey, Brother Joy got it. What Solomon was taught by his dad was that what you want to teach your kids from a young age is that the rich rule over the poor. This is what you need to teach your kids. And the borrower is servant to the lender. What if you learned that when you were a child? You never told me the next verse. What if you learned this? Somebody informed me of a woman who's hired to speak to Jewish kids. What was it? Ebony, right? You told me. She's a consultant, and she's hired to come to Jewish schools, a black woman, to come to Jewish schools to teach their 9-year-olds about investments. To teach them about investments. 9 years old. What are they teaching them? The rich rule over the poor. The rich have ownership. The rich have control. The rich have authority. The rich rule over the poor, not because the poor can't be rich, but because the poor have never received the knowledge that will allow them to be rich. And what the poor do is actually give their right to rule on the earth over to the rich. Do you remember in the beginning God created us all to rule and have dominion? God created us in his image and likeness, said subdue the earth, replenish the earth. Rule, have dominion. Well, if you're going to have dominion, you got to have a domain. A domain is a what? Territory. Domain is land. Domain is something that you control, that you have control over. So the Bible says what you should have been taught as a child was that you were supposed to think ownership and rulership. There's another verse, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 2, that says this: when the righteous rule, or when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people groan. When the saints, when believers rule, the people rejoice. But when wicked people rule, when wicked people have authority in the earth, people groan. Let's not even go to his level. When wicked people own apartment buildings, and you have landlords who we call slumlords, why? Because they leave people in less than livable conditions and take no regards to human life or their dignity or their self-worth. Why? Because they have control and they rule and they don't care about the people that they are serving. Come on. When the wicked are in control, the people groan. So, the poor give up their right to rule to the rich. They haven't been trained the way they should go. And they haven't been trained to think ownership is the way. So they aim to get jobs, to rent, and to borrow. And they become servants to the rich, the ones who own the businesses for the jobs, the houses for them to rent, and the money for them to borrow. God wants righteous people ruling. Because when the righteous have ownership, the people can rejoice. Come on, when you own a house and you can be generous, you can be lenient, you can be kind, you can help the people people that you're helping. Come on, you can be a blessing to the people who need your help because you're in a position to help people. We're complaining about the wicked because the wicked are corrupt and the wicked are taking advantage of people who can't do anything better for themselves. But God is turning the cards. He's changing the tables and God is getting ready to set us up to get into positions of authority and rulership and ownership in the earth. I know you don't see it yet, but I'm telling you what God is about to do in this ministry and what God is about to do in your life. You're going to rule. You're going to have ownership. You're going to have control. You're going to have land, and you're going to be a bigger blessing, and you're going to raise your children up to do the same thing. They're going to learn what they should have learned, what you should have learned 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Come on. And it all starts with you understanding this one principle. Think ownership. Think rulership. Come on, say, I can have ownership. I can own my own house. Own my own business. Be in control of my own life and my financial destiny. I'm not putting my rights to have freedom in the hands of another, into another corrupt system. I believe in the economy of God. I believe in the kingdom of heaven. And I believe that God wants to prosper me. I will not become lukewarm, but I will become rich. And I will not regret it. I will not reject it. But I will receive it as my inheritance. Come on. Jesus died for you to be rich, church. Do you know the Bible says that? 2 Corinthians 8:9. The Bible says, do you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? That he took on poverty so that through his poverty you can become rich. That's in the Bible. He became poor so you can become rich. Just like he took on sin so you can become righteous. Just like he took on sickness on his body so you can be healed. He took on poverty so you can be rich. This is a part of what the cross paid for. So it means that you should never accept anything less than the best. Again, there's been extremists with this message. And people who've gone out and connected salvation to wealth, that if you don't have a lot of money, you're not saved and all this stuff. You know, those are weirdos, okay? Our salvation has nothing to do with that. But what it does with our salvation, what it gives us access to, is wealth and prosperity. And by grace, God will set you up. He will give you favor. He will let people come to you at the right place at the right time who will help you, who will counsel you, who will mentor you, who will give you deeds. Come on. People who will give you. What was it? Amir the other day. Amir. The other day, you had a testimony, right? Somebody walked up to you and gave you some money? That was like a year ago, 2 years ago. Somebody walked up to you and gave you $10,000, right? Yeah. that happens every day, you know. Somebody walked up to him and gave him $10,000. Why did he do it? He just said he wanted to give you a gift. He wanted to be a blessing. I don't know about people blessing people with $10,000. He was on Wealth Street. Come on, any street you're on is Wealth Street. Come on, God is breaking you off of Poverty Road. Come on, you're getting on Wealth Street. Wealth Street, Wealth Street, Wealth Street. Heaven's street is paved with gold. And things that are going to be in earth as it is in heaven. How hard is it for God to transfer wealth to us? Stop playing. So I'm going to close with this. I got to end. Train up your children in the way they should go. The next few weeks, we're going to do some, I don't want to say soul, it's like soul searching, but we're going to do some digging. And we're going to start looking at some of the beliefs that we've been programmed to believe that actually cause us to resist the idea of wealth. I know some of the things I'm saying kind of even feels uncomfortable to some of you. It did for me at first. But the Bible never talks about middle class. It talks about prosperity and poverty, rich or poor. And you have to make a decision to say, where am I going to be? It's going to happen by force. There's another stock market crash coming soon. All these people buying houses and all this stuff, there's going to be another housing crash. This stuff is not, the money, the dollar bill is not going to be in existence, I think, in the next 15, 10 years, if that long. So there's going to be a complete shift in how we do money completely in this world. And so what we need to begin to do is get educated, get the knowledge. We're going to be able to realize, what I found is, isn't it amazing that the people that make a lot of money in this world usually didn't really do good in school? Right? I know some of my friends who went to school, I beat them every time within their grades. Right now, they beat me financially. But what I find, though, what I know about them is that one of those things is that they have these three things. They don't have the fear of failure. Do you realize the better you do in school, the harder it is for you to make mistakes, to take mistakes, and feel good? Because you take pride in getting A's and always getting the best scores. But then in that, you are also programmed to believe that I don't want to fail. So it's hard for you to take risks. So the best thing you need to do this week is to begin. I'm going to give you guys some new affirmations to believe, all right? I want you to say this with me. And these affirmations are powerful. These affirmations have the ability to cause you to change the beliefs that were installed in you at a young age. And I want you to say this with me. Say, I am not afraid of failing. I am not afraid of failing. I'm not afraid of taking risks. I am not afraid of failing. I'm not afraid of rejection. If people reject me, it doesn't matter to me. I will succeed anyway. I will win anyway. I will receive the blessings that God has for me, and I will make no apologies for it. I will make as much money as I want and not make any apologies. And if it requires me to take some new risks, I'm not afraid of it. Even if I fail, I will get back up and win anyway. Because a just man falls 7 times, but gets back up. And the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. It's laid up for me, because I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Come on.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.